Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a better place. I want to thank everyone for listening today, especially my friends, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Portugal and Norway who are listening, my beautiful friends in Japan who I know are listening, my wonderful friends in the Caribbean and the South America and Venezuela who I know are listening throughout Europe, Canada, around the world. I want to thank you so much for listening today. During our first hour, I interviewed Scott Lemriel, and actually, he'll be still on the line here for our second hour because I'll be having a wonderful man named Dr. William Mount be interviewing him during my second hour as well. He's a psychic and also a famous filmmaker and video specialist. And Dr. Mount's an amazing guy. He's got literally hundreds of thousands of people following his videos on YouTube, on the internet. He lives in Tacoma, Washington, and I'm so happy he could come on today. But before we start, I'd like to bring a really interesting lady named Kim Fun on, who lives in Renton, and she's sponsoring a very spiritual, very special event here in the Seattle area on October 23rd. I know that Scott Lemriel is flying up from Los Angeles to be part of that. I'm so sorry I won't be able to be here for that. I'll be in San Francisco with the Emoto Peace Project presentations. But anyway, let's see if we can bring on Kim now to the show. Kim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much, Ted, for allowing me this opportunity to share my event with all the people out there.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Now, please tell us a little bit about what you're sponsoring on October 23rd and where it's located and all the details.
Yes, on the 23rd of October, from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m., we will have a gathering of all the people from all over the Northwest area to come, to drum, to chant, and as Scott will be there, and he will also be leading a chant of the Hue, where I believe he just demonstrated a little bit. So our main goal is we're trying to bring in all the different spiritual groups and leaders to come together and be unity as one. And I don't know if you know, but on the 24th of October, there is a movement that is happening. It's called the Awaken the Globus, the Global Humanity of Oneness.
Oh,
and
nice.
We will be the door that opens the consciousness out there, basically. So there are people who are similar to what I do. They are over in Europe and in South America who are also running a similar event of just gathering awakened people, coming together and chant and send out peace, beauty, and just awaken the consciousness and have all of us come together as one.
Well, that's beautiful. I'll be sure to do that when I'm down in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's
a
wonderful thing. Now, could you please give out the address, if you don't mind, over the air?
Yes. People can get on to Hot Yoga Renton, and it's located in downtown Renton at the address of 222 William Avenue, and it's in Renton. And if they have drums or any kind of singing bowls, they are welcome to bring them. And it will be more of an experience. So it won't be so much talking. It will be more of chanting and letting people feel what it's like when the vibration raises up and, you know, from their purest heart, basically.
What a beautiful thing you're doing. And Kim,
thank you.
And I just need, if you do another one in the future, if you could give me some advance notice, because I'd love to participate.
You know what? Ted, I don't really have when I'm doing this. It's basically spirit comes in and tells me you need to do it on this date. And I just go with whatever. It was the perfect time of the perfect place. And when I started this, like I did not know about the 24th of like mm-hmm. they awaken the globe, you know, the global awareness to oneness until much, much later. Then all mm-hmm. of a sudden, all of us from all over the world, we just happen to gather and talk, and we all think we're like, oh my goodness, look at this. Okay, now it's time. It's time
Beautiful.
To awake
Beautiful.
The people. It's time to bring people, like-minded people, together to come and share the beauty of the world, you know?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show today and telling everyone. I'm urging everyone to please join her event. If you are in the Seattle area on October 23rd, between 6 to 8 p.m. And thank you so much, Kim, for sharing that. It's wonderful what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Okay, my friend.
All righty. Best of luck. Okay.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. And with that, I want to thank Kim again so much for coming on today and sharing this event. But before we go on, we've got, I have a wonderful gentleman named Dr. William Alt who's on hold. But before we do, I'd like to start out the interview with this song. The entire planet is undergoing a wonderful spiritual shift into the higher dimensions. So I'd like to start to play this song, Aquarius, by the Fifth Dimension, to start this interview off. Isn't that a wonderful song? I've always liked that song by the Fifth Dimension, and I thought it was highly appropriate today to start this hour off because the entire planet is shifting into the higher dimensions now, and what a beautiful way to start our interview. I'd like to welcome Dr. William Mount to Out of This World Radio. And Bill, are you there?
I'm here. Have you got me now?
We've got you just fine. Just fine. A little bit about your background. You're
First of all, I'm going to act as Scott's taxi when he comes up here.
All right.
I do my videos usually from 8 to noon, and then after that I'm Scott's taxi and lunch money.
Okay, well, that's great.
The idea is to help people with the money we make from the videos because we don't need it.
Right.
So we're doing a lot of really fun stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little background. I mean, I started as a forester. Age 12, I started looking for a cure for plant diseases, and that really drove me till age 30 when we found out if you put a hydroponic formula and soap on the ground, all the diseases and all the plants went away.
Really? Wow.
So we did a video, the cure for tree diseases. It's on YouTube. It's free. You go out, you buy the Miracle-Gro, you buy the Epsom salt, you buy the palm olive, you make it yourself.
Wow.
And then I got exposed to, I was a forester, and then I joined the Army because I couldn't find a job, made captain, and they threw me out. I was physically disabled, exposed to, you name it, we tested it, I was exposed to it.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so I found a cure for nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons.
Wow,
and
amazing.
We posted it as the cure for cancer.
Wow, amazing.
Because a short little guy, he was about your size, and he was at Hiroshima in 1945, and he said they started eating seaweed, and all the people who had cancer got better within months.
Really? Wow. Amazing.
So we added a surfactant to that, and we did this for the soldiers exposed to nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. And then I floated for about 7 years, worked on the house, built some solar panels, put on some roofs, built myself a pretty sizable little nest. And then the two senior special forces came forward from the first special forces at Fort Lewis and told me what they were planning to do. And I said, no, 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 not on my watch. And so I've been keyed into some pretty heavy-duty politics we talk about on our YouTube video that's somewhat unbelievable unless you've been following me for years and you understand 2.5 years of Seattle TV and then a year of print, and then YouTube, and then they kicked me off, and then we got on YouTube again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on and off, and so far we've had a good run on YouTube for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we know things before they happen, and we expose it, and they're always, almost always stop. Not 100% of the time, but almost always. The little shenanigans on the 8th of February in the eastern Ukraine, we couldn't stop that thing from going off. But we did stop the other three from going off, and we put an end to those shenanigans from the Secretary of Defense. So we've been stopping a lot of things, and the purpose of our program is like a laser beam to unify people in prayer to put an end to this evil.
Well, that's wonderful. And that's wonderful, Bill.
I listen from 3,500 miles away. I listen to the Lucifer Trust, called the Lucas Trust. And if you understand their language, they'll tell you what is about to happen. Who's going to fire a missile at whom? Where the war, where they're planning to start the war. They will tell you this in a language that takes years to understand. And then they want you... They say this on their broadcast. They want you to figure out what they're saying and see if you can stop it. They actually say that on the broadcast.
Isn't that interesting? Now, this is part of the cabal, is that right? Or the hidden forces?
These are the fallen angels. This is Lucifer's trust. This is these are the bad boys at the UN. These are the leaders of the United Nations.
I see. Interesting.
And they want us to understand what they're saying, and they say when we... finally reach the point where enough of us are praying like a laser beam to stop this insanity, then their job is done and they have to leave.
Oh, interesting.
That's what they say at the Lucifer Trust.
Interesting. Interesting. What are they, what kinds of, if you don't mind me asking you this, Dr. Mount, what kinds of things have they said or what kinds of things are they saying now?
Well, when you talk to them, let me back up about a year.
Okay.
There was a lot of shenanigans in the eastern Ukraine where the United States was trying to get a mineral out of there that they can't grow. For those of you that have never seen this, in 1975, 76, 77, I transferred to University of California, Berkeley. In my first metallurgy class, they taught us to grow iron.
Interesting.
In a vacuum. Now, if you can grow iron in a vacuum, you can grow gold and silver in a vacuum.
Wow.
So there was a mineral in the eastern Ukraine that somebody wanted that we couldn't grow. And so in order to scare them, an Air Force transport was brought in to a particular airport, not the main Kiev airport. We described where it was flying in a month before it came in. It transported four nuclear weapons. We described where they were for almost 30 days. One of them went off north of Donetsk, blew up an ammo dump. The other three, after that one went off, the Russians got reactivated and captured the other three. That was in the Russian papers. This is not anything that has not been put in their papers.
This was back in
Benjamin Fulford talked about it.
I see. This is...
And I tracked him for 30 days.
Interesting.
And I was very upset when they let one go off.
Okay.
So I know that's probably contrary to what most people have been told, but it was in all the Russian papers. But the conventional weapons that we have are as big as nuclear weapons. So we can fire our missile, and it doesn't have to be nuclear to create that kind of destruction. So the only difference is on the conventional weapons, you see the tree branches flying into the air. So maybe it was a conventional. I just don't know enough about things that go boom in the night. But I did track them for 30 days. I said, this is where they're coming from. These are their serial numbers. This is where they're going. And that's where they ended up. By golly, the first one that went off, minimum casualty, was an ammo dump, and then the other three were captured very quickly after that.
What kinds of things are they planning now? Are they sane?
What we're seeing now in the government is we're seeing a joint CIA, KGB, or SVR operation to expose all the emails and all the tapes that they have on all the political leaders in London and Washington, D.C. Because we're supposed to stabilize our economy with a single currency, and they're fighting it. So they're literally, there seems to be an internal war within the cabal. Cabal, by the way, means Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is the book of witchcraft and numbers that the Jewish people use. And the cabal are the group of people that follow the Kabbalah.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. Yeah, we used the term cabal, and I'm looking on the internet last week, and I realized cabal is a Christian Satanist.
Mm-hmm.
They follow the Kabbalah, and they call the Christian Satanist from the West the cabal. I thought that was interesting.
That's fascinating. Dr. Matt, I'd like to bring Scott in now.
Oh, absolutely. And let me tell you, when I met you and Scott, it was perfect timing because we were asking exactly the questions that you guys answered.
Hmm.
I mean, you talk about perfect timing for you two.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it. Scott, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Good. Now, one of the things I want to footnote what Bill's been saying about, about a possible war or anything. Scott, you've told me before that the Galactics have stepped in at least 8 to 12 different times during the Cold War. 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they've disabled nuclear weapons that...
No, they shut down the launch computers in the Soviet Union and the United States.
I see.
That means these guys, these knuckleheads, pushed the button to have all nuclear war. And it was that much direct intervention from off-world was allowed.
I see.
They didn't, when ships would hover over these bases and shut them down,
mm-hmm.
they didn't talk to anybody, explain mm-hmm. themselves, mm-hmm. or interfere. They just shut them down and left. And they got a distance away, they turned the launch computers back on with the launch mode shut down. Pretty direct message.
Well, I thought about that because last week, Hillary Clinton promised to use nuclear weapons in any regional conflicts. And I said to myself, well, I don't think the Galactics or any off-world power would allow
no,
that to happen.
No, that's just PR for the public.
I see. Okay.
So whatever went off in Donetsk must have been conventional, but it was a big explosion.
It could have been nuclear back then, because back then, Bill, this was not in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they weren't stopping this kind of thing back then. During the Cold War, they did. But that one may have been a really big conventional weapon, too.
Mm-hmm. It might have been. You brought up a really good point, Scott. I'm looking at what does it mean on a video that was instantly pulled within hours after they put it up. But it's one of the guys standing there in front of the 13 banking families, the bankers in Rome, the Rothschilds and the Frankfurt bankers, and he said, "You are the human elite." And they cheered. Now, if there's a human elite, and they have to know by now they're scheduled to be killed unless they cooperate, if there's a human elite, then there's got to be a non-human elite.
That's right.
Very, very astute. Very astute.
That's right. It's off-world. That's right.
That off-world, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the people who run the world they were talking to, because I recognize some of them. If you read about somebody, then he's not one of the world leaders.
Right.
Now, there seems to be four levels. There seems to be us at the bottom feeders. The ambassadors and presidents, and then the banksters, but then the banksters answer to something other than the banksters.
That's true.
Right.
And those few answer to an off-world tyrant extraterrestrial group, but they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Till recently, they were in direct control of them. Now, these guys still have the implant controls running them on automatic, but the off-world tyrants have been suspended from affecting this world, which means they have no backing anymore.
Interesting.
Means they're running around. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of interference.
So
they're still. Oh, the click means another agency is recording me.
Well,
that's fine.
We just send that away.
We have protection that's stronger than any technology. So.
Well, it's fun because when you say you have a million listeners, you have a lot more because you have a lot of what I found out to be trunk lines.
Oh.
And so one person will listen in a CIA headquarters and 300 people will then get the signal of that.
Interesting.
So they don't boost your viewership or your listenership, but it really does because that one CIA trunk line then goes into about 300 different other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I respect them for the job they're doing. I want to send them lots of love and light because eventually they'll all be transformed too.
Right.
So
a lot of them are.
You're right, Bill. Some of them already are.
Right.
A lot more than you would imagine. Otherwise, we'd be in a lot less.
Otherwise, we'd be toast already.
That's right. That's right.
We've got a lot. If you think about it, how could I do a TV show on the cure for cancer and do a video on the cure for cancer and 7 and 8 years later still be walking around unless I had protection.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what was our recent one? We now have to say reversing diabetes. But we did the cure for, we did the cure for diabetes. Just pick a disease, the cure for Alzheimer's, the cure for allergies. It's all on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So there must be somebody out there. And if you match the frequency of seaweed, you actually will do the same thing as the seaweed does. But I don't have a frequency generator.
Did you say you matched the frequency of seaweed? Is that right?
Yeah, let's say we knew in 1945 or even 7 years ago mm-hmm. that since 1945 we've had a 95% cure for cancer.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Right.
Now, if we added the surfactant that they boil out of kelp, which is called Immucyst, the success rate goes to 100%. Wow. So if we've had that kind of success rate for so long, but I'm still there, the videos are still up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah,
since we met, Bill, you've had a certain kind of protection. You had it, but now you're becoming more conscious of it. I think that's wonderful.
Well, I think they censorship the videos by knocking 90 to 95% of the hits off, and that's okay. They don't want to pay the ad bill. Mm. But they haven't pulled them.
What's it?
There's been no let's get rid of these videos.
What's it listed under? Is it listed under your name, Bill?
I don't hide. It's just William Mount YouTube.
Okay.
William Mount, there's Dr. William Mount blogspot.
Okay.
I post as William Mount. I don't have any alternate name because when you do this, you want people to know you're telling the truth. But if you match the frequency of these things, say you match all the different frequencies that seaweed has,
right?
You do the same thing as if you eat the seaweed.
Uh-huh.
So they took some of the products we talk about and they matched the frequency. It did the same thing. So we talk about these chips coming with frequency generators. They're so far advanced beyond us. It's incredible.
I had Corey Good and Randy Kramer on my show earlier this year and last year, Bill and Scott, and they talked about they have frequency beds actually on the Secret Space Program on the dark side of the moon, staffed by American military in their Secret Space Program. And if somebody's got cancer, both of those gentlemen told me on the air that they simply lay in this bed and they program a computer to change the vibration of the person's body and they get rid of the cancer, and it's 100% effective.
Well, Ed Skilling has a machine like that. It increases your mm-hmm. We vibrate from 55 to, and this is important. The UN director, assistant director, he was in charge of Space Command, mm-hmm. and he was talking about this at a United Nations conference. He said, we vibrate 55 to 85 megahertz.
Right.
Well, the astral plane, it's a plane of light that's all around us, vibrates 100 times faster, roughly. Mm. Mm-hmm. And he said, you got the lower and the upper astral plane, and then you've got the galactic plane, which is another 100 times faster. There are frequencies of life. Mm-hmm. And in order to come down here, they have to slow their frequency down.
Right.
And then I'm counting the number. We've got 9 people recording now. It's funny. I hear deep, deep. That means the recorder goes on.
Well, that's nice.
People are very interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. So the people who are here now come from a higher vibrational frequency. Or, Scott, how did you put it? You said a universe that vibrates at a slightly different time rate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, each parallel dimension in the physical universe, 144 of them, that's a significant number.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
each one, which means there's planets and people in physical forms like us, mm-hmm. before you ever get to what's called the lower astral plane, that have planets and life in them, mm-hmm. and there are doorways between them. Interdimensional doorways, and each plane of molecules in each of those planes vibrate at a different time rate than us.
Wow.
So when we go to Machu Picchu and we put gold in a little thing that you put, there's a little indent in the granite, and you put the gold in it and you create the 7 vibrational tones that will open that stargate. There was the great Incan priest who, after the Spanish came, he went through the stargate by putting his thing that he wears around his neck in the keyhole, and the stargate opened, and he gave his necklace to the number 2 Aztec, or Mayan priest. It wasn't Mayan, it was Incan. And so each Stargate opens with a gold key and the frequency tone.
Well, it's interesting because gold and silver and quartz have special properties that people on Earth, for the most part, hidden government classified some knowledge of it. But they are used off-world, but not for monetary uses. They're used in space travel, interdimensional travel,
wow.
These three elements, mm-hmm. a lot.
Wow.
So Earth, you know, is the mantle is primarily silica, quartz.
It's
very valuable commodity.
Huge crystals in this planet.
Oh, yeah.
There was a movie where they went into the center of the Earth to restart the core because they blew an atomic bomb off and stopped the core. Mm-hmm. Well, those huge crystals are real, and they're down there.
There's huge ones. I've even seen some a story high and 15
wow.
feet wide sitting in a museum in San Francisco.
Really? Wow, amazing.
In Seattle on Yesler Street, 2nd Avenue, when we did TV before they started scrubbing the Internet, there were pictures of 100-foot-long crystals that took 4 to 6 wagons. Underground Seattle was about the tour of the Underground Seattle pad is about the crystals that they took out from underneath Seattle when they went down in there and they started building the sewer system.
Wow.
There were large caves, and when they started building the under, they were building, and I heard this from the builders, they were building a huge thing under Aurora Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and they ran into a huge existing tunnel
mm-hmm.
section that was not filled with water. That's why they had to abandon the old New York subways, because they ran into huge, huge tunnel network underneath New York City.
Wow.
And they had to build a second subway.
Wow. Amazing.
It's amazing what their workers will tell you when you hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, that's all classified stuff on this planet, you know.
You know,
Bruce.
Right, right.
I guess you all have a classified clearance, don't you? I guess I could do that.
I just heard another click, by the way. We have a lot of people listening out there. I hope I welcome them to the show. I hope they find it interesting. One of the things that I learned, by the way, about studying the history of Chief Seattle, wonderful man, back in the mid-1850s, there was a huge mm-hmm. longhouse right in that area, which you talked about, Bill and Scott, in downtown Seattle, right above...
You mean on top of the crystals, where...
Right on top of the crystals, there's a huge longhouse there where... Tribes would meet not only from Chief Seattle's tribe, but also other Native American tribes in this area. Of course, that's gone now. It's been paved over, but it's such a shame, really, because it would be a wonderful historical landmark.
Well, there are three areas here, and this is the reason we want to one of the reasons we want to open a cancer clinic in Montana, because I can receive information
mm-hmm.
very well in Montana, no electrical interference.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain three places that I can sit at a dinner table and receive information. It's like the information is already out there. It's just a matter of, can I tap into it?
Right.
It's like opening the right doors. Okay, what's the head of the DOD thinking? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, he's sending the aircraft carrier George Washington in to fire some missiles in exactly 3 days somewhere. Well, I'm not getting a location. I'm thinking Finland.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of information, you can warn the carrier group and say, please don't start a nuclear war. Please don't. Think about what you're doing before you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what part of yesterday was about, was warning carrier groups, because they were going to use three of them to start a war. I said, think about what you're doing, guys. So it gets out pretty quick in the Navy.
Our naval ships were going into the Gulf of Finland to start a nuclear war with Russia?
And they've done that several times. And Russia flew a plane by, and they were given some advanced technology from off-worlders. And the Theodore Roosevelt... all the power shot down, blew all the fuses on the carrier back there.
Interesting.
And they had to rush it in there. They towed it into Britain, and they replaced all the fuses. Each carrier is, you think they're all the same? Oh, no. You put electrical work on every carrier, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You have an electrical worker for the Theodore Roosevelt, don't move him. Don't move him to the Nimitz, because he won't know how the carrier works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're really custom built, and they could actually be serving huge services to humanity. They could be powering a country, they could be rescuing people, they could be transporting food. They're just incredible ships. They don't have to carry an instant fighter plane. They can carry food and rescue stuff.
Well, Scott and Bill, I have to ask you guys this question, and I know that my listeners around the world would probably agree. I can't conceive of anybody in their right mind who would ever want a nuclear war between the United States and Russia.
Well, two things. Number one, they've lost, and they're going to try to blow the planet up instead of losing it. Whoever these controlling entities, draconian demons, whatever they are.
Okay.
The second thing is they pummel us with fear, and the satellites pick up our fear, and they live on it. It's like a heroin. I've had some of the satanic priests tell me they get high from the fear.
Yuck.
Scott, is that what happens? Do they live on us? Do they get high?
Yeah, more like if you're a tyrant and you're a strutting peacock full of ego and you've artificially bloated yourself to peer superior to human beings where you make them worship you like gods, which they've done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not so much that they live on it for food. I don't want to get into what they did live on for food.
Mm-hmm.
It's more that they get thrilled at thinking that they are in complete dominant control over human beings. This is their high.
Interesting.
Okay, so the fact...
So, yeah, it's an addictive, negative, dark, nonsensical thing. It's because those tyrants are also implanted.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back in galactic history a long ways. What compelled the Draekor reptilians and other races they control before they were defeated in the last war here in the galaxy half a million years ago, what compelled them to behave as tyrants wasn't their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
When you really understand that, then you realize that those tyrants also need to get that problem solved so they stop being tyrants. And then a problem won't come back to this planet.
Pardon me for interrupting, Scott and Bill, but at one time, Scott, you told me once that these Dracos were actually benevolent entities.
They were. They were vegetarians.
Interesting. Wow.
And they were once great benefactors of the Galactic Alliance out there before they were compelled by an or tyrant race and implanted to go out and be the terrorizing tyrants, spacefaring tyrants they did become, started a war.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that war.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of destruction. Mm-hmm. And benevolent beings don't go back to their own planet and wipe them all out and their children and kill all the reptilians. No, they struck up a treaty, then they policed that treaty. If you know anything about tyrants and the compulsive behavior they're under, they will find a way just short of galactic war to beg, borrow, or steal human beings or other planets for resources. That's basically all they're after.
Interesting.
Hmm. Well, they've created a revolution within their own empire because when the tall white king here, supposedly, because I've never seen one, they ate genetically modified food. And what I read was that's changing their genetic makeup. And the tall white as a race is literally about to be obliterated within the next 200 or 300 years. Unless they get help, because their genes are taking them down a notch in the IQ.
Well, they're hybrids. Thing. They're hybrid race, human and reptilian.
Oh, really?
So they're not—they're not the bad guys per se, but they are compelled to behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter that you know these beings don't really want to behave badly, but they can't help themselves. Kind of like our hidden government on this planet—they can't help themselves either.
Right. Right.
So I don't throw darts at political people anymore because it just ties you into the whole negative thing.
Sure.
It's better to bless them, send out prayers to them, or send out love to them,
right,
because if anybody needs the help, they do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. Exactly. Well, they're swinging money. Well, and here's the other thing. Okay, we go on, we see a negative email about this, we see a negative email about that, and then you think, okay, slow down. What is behind them releasing this negative email at this time? So we can fear.
Well, you know, the implants work on the basis of artificially created emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, doubt, speculation, and theory. These are not real. They don't exist in normal planets. They don't work in theory at all, like scientists teach here. The outer scientists, not the classified ones.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work in speculation. They don't speculate about what they know.
Right.
They don't have doubt, and they're not afraid because they know who they are. They know their relationship to the rest of the universe and fellow beings. They know who the tyrants are, and they know what was done to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not vengeful.
Mm-hmm.
No, they've been seeking for a long time to find a way to safely remove the tyrants hidden underground and on this earth in a non-destructive way.
Mm-hmm.
That solution was only come up with about 6 years ago.
Mm, interesting.
Okay.
And they're starting to implement it off-world to stop the tyrant situation there permanently, and do it here so that it doesn't come back here anymore, ever.
So 6 years ago they set forth. Does that have anything to do with that? Well, there's two things. There's a lot of things popping up. Number one, they've detected a large pyramid in the Himalayan mountains. They know that there they can't touch it. There's another one.
Two of them on the bottom of the oceans, right.
Yeah, and then there's one surrounding planet Earth, pointed to planet Earth. They, if they can get to and fly through and around, and they can detect it, but they don't know what it is and what's emanating from
it. This is in the classified space program arena, but there is one out in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. It's gigantic, and it's radiating in golden white light out of it. It's pulsing out into the universe. It's connecting to those on Earth. And this classified space program knows it's there, but they can't do anything with it. Psychically, weapons, nothing can affect it at all. Mm-hmm. That concerns them a lot.
They send a ship out there, and they get so close to this ray, they just turn good. Their implants sort of go away.
Yeah, because then they lose personnel, so they stay away from it, because if they try to attack it, they get reversed.
Mm, fascinating.
It's interesting. I say, well, bring it on, go ahead.
Yeah. Wow.
The pyramids on Ceres, which is a 600-mile-across asteroid. Which
I'm not talking about that PR.
No, that's a difference.
Now, I'm talking about floating out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Between two large asteroids, it's grounded to. It is not of human design. Mm-hmm. It wasn't created in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it can function in the physical universe to do a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It can't be affected by tyrants or extraterrestrials, good or bad,
mm-hmm.
by technology or psychically or any other way, which concerns people in power who are tyrants, because there's something going on they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing because it's so funny that they've got all this power and all this might, and this little bitty pyramid way out there is pointing at Earth and emitting a golden light, and they can't touch it with all their power and all their might.
Can't do anything with it at all.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
And what scares them and then makes them think is that it has not attacked them or killed them or taken them out as bad guys. It doesn't do that. And they go, wait a minute, we're not being targeted. What's this all about? Then they start to change.
And it's connected to something that is helping stabilize our economy. We should have been in the tank years ago.
Oh, yeah. Money's just artificial, so you can prop it up with digits anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a... That's exactly right. You can prompt up money anytime you want, but and there's been so many threats. We're not going to use the dollar. We're not going to use the ruble. And it's like all these threats that they've been talking about for years are beginning to dissolve, which is why we did a video today. Be ready for hurricanes and tornadoes, but don't fear. There's something so big out there that has come back.
That's
and
right.
I see a lot of the things I used to worry about, well, they're going to put a nuke on top of this here, and they're going to put a nuke on top of there. I don't worry about
it. Well, no, you don't have to. Here's the thing, what you call the cabal or hidden government, a few elitist families on the planet that run the bankers and then everything else. Not only are they not targeted, but they're beginning to understand this is going to help them.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's the first step you got to get them over. When they start to realize this isn't a threat, it's actually for their benefit and all life, things change.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to look at it and say, if we don't have to fear it, we don't really have to do it, deal with it, we're just going to watch it and let it be.
Well, there's nothing they can do about it anyway. It's going to change everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a tyrant. It's for their own good.
Fascinating.
Everybody will ask you the time frame. That's the one question everybody's going to ask.
I was just going to ask you
and
that.
I would never put it out publicly. You know why?
Because
I know
we wouldn't do anything then.
No, because implants in the subconscious, which control people to fixate imaginatively on fear and hook them into that whole frequency,
mm-hmm.
keep them unaware. It cannot... That kind of thing, when you put a date, prophesy a date or set a date, by the way, anybody that's done that's never been right, nothing's ever come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
2012, right. December 21st, at the end of the Mayan calendar, which became a new one,
right.
Nothing happened. And some radio shows were very upset by this because they are fans of Armageddon.
Yeah,
I remember them. They were so upset. Nobody blew anybody up. That happened in the year 2002. Nobody blew anybody up.
Well, here's the thing. Right. The Mayan leaders, there's I think 500 and 550 down in Guatemala mostly,
mm-hmm.
that really know how to read their own calendar, never, ever stated that it had anything to do with the Bible or that it was tied into prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
They said the change of that calendar into the new one has mm-hmm. to do with an energy. They do not, as simple people, understand how this is going about. But mm-hmm. they do know with certainty that what has come about at that time is the end of evil as an experiment on Earth, quote-unquote.
Wow. Beautiful.
And they're misinterpreted all the time.
Going away. What does that mean for us? Are there other humans out there? Are there I mean, is this normal money, war?
No,
is this normal
it's not.
For the rest of the galaxy? Are we going to run into this mess out there?
No, I'll tell you what. There's a Cold War going on outside that's coming to an end. But there's not been a war out there like we have on Earth in 500,000 years.
Okay, but that's between two factions. On an individual planet, on let's just take one of the planets out there. Is it normal to have, just on the planet itself, is it normal to have war and economic collapse? You said money is not normal.
No, they don't have money on those worlds, and no, there are no war, and there's no disease. That's normal.
Interesting.
Oh, we got to change this planet so fast.
Oh, there you go. That's normal.
Well, we've had an opportunity, I think. I know... Scott and Bill, you guys probably know more about this than I do. From what I've heard, though, there was a gentleman named Valiant Thor who came to the Pentagon in 1957.
From Venus.
From Venus, right, and offered President Eisenhower the spiritual and technological growth to eliminate all disease on this planet and poverty,
right,
too.
Right, he was an ambassador.
Right, he was an ambassador. And Vice President Nixon was against it because he had a lot of friends in
high places, yeah.
In high places, and especially in pharmaceutical companies, and he thought that they'd be out of work if we got rid of all disease.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's amazing. After putting out the cure for cancer, they haven't been able to pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
And what's even more amazing is we are so locked into these implants, whatever they are. I call them demons, other people, and that's important. When you say prime creator, you mean God. It's a little bit different, but not really. When you say Jesus or Yeshua, it's the same Yeshua they're talking about. You just know more about this Yeshua. So the terms are a little bit different. So I see the Christian community rejecting the UFO community because they don't understand that the terms are a little bit different.
I want to think about Christians or Muslims or anybody else. When they change their creative imagination, when they wake up enough, they're not going to support a savior that is in favor of Armageddoning the earth for God's will. That's nonsense. Tyrants created that. Kings who controlled the printing of books and religions on this planet, which everybody knows they did, created that to keep people unaware of who they are long before they die. If you can keep a person on earth unaware of where they came from, you can control them. Simple as that.
That's true.
Well, it's very clear in Revelations, it's very clear in the other books in the Bible, that the destruction of planet Earth is a choice.
There you go.
Right.
And Revelations was a choice, and if you read it in the Greek, not the way that they've translated it into the English, you realize that these horsemen, because it's just a compilation of the last two chapters of every book in the Old Testament, and you realize if you read the first five books, you've got to read chapter one before you understand the last chapter. It's very clear that this is all a choice we make.
And people on Earth have to have true free will choice in order to choose rightly.
Ah, yes, that's a good point, Scott.
And if they don't have that, it's so out of balance, people are going to destroy the place without free will. That's not right.
Right.
But we don't have free will because we make a choice and the implants stop us from achieving our goals.
Correct. Correct. And people from outside the world, benevolent, loving, highly evolved spiritually and technologically, know that now. So they have a responsibility to the people of this world to get them back in harmony with free will so they can choose. Because when they do have that, they will choose to make this place a paradise.
Well, when we have the real true choice,
exactly,
then obviously we'll make the right choice. There isn't anybody who isn't. Do you want to die in a nuclear blast, or do you want to have a paradise on Earth? Well,
there you go.
Right.
Dad, I don't mean to keep you out of the conversation. You're not standing.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening. I learn a lot by just listening.
That's completely right in my view, and from what I experience and know out there, Bill, it's right. Yeah.
Well, and we were discussing this, Jane and I, for 6 months, getting so mad because we seemed to be stuck. And when you came along, you're the only other person who said, well, how can you have free will if you don't even know what the choice is you're making? And even if you make the choice, they're going to stop you.
And how do you know if you have free will if you don't remember who you are or how you got here?
That's true.
How can you call that free will?
Right.
Well,
you
can't. If you don't
step to waking this stuff up is knowing what we just talked about as individuals. Once you know that... the process of unfolding and awakening through the hue is irreversible.
Now, well, that's like
the important point.
It's like you told me, pardon me, Bill, but Scott, it's like you told me before, once the implants are taken out, they can't put them back in.
No, they can't.
Once they're gone,
they're gone. They won't be able to get near you because of the protection that comes with working in a certain way with divine spirit.
Nice.
You know, when you connect to it directly from the original word, the one sound vibration, then no power can affect it.
Right.
It's not designed in the lower universes to affect that. It can't.
Now, the divine spirit is prime creator, which is God. Now, just once in the Old Testament, there was the word Raha Kodesh, which means the spirit of fear, which is what they called the Holy Spirit. But all they wanted you to understand is that you should love your neighbor and you should fear if you do wrong, because you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't lie. I mean, the whole Bible can be summed up in about three words: don't lie, cheat, and steal.
Right. There's another way of putting it that's more modern but just means the same. Like do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, but, you know, basically it has a respect for another person and their properties, and do not tread on other persons or their being. That's very simple.
Well, that's exactly right. Don't stomp on other people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just normal behavior for a human being to be benevolent. That's normal.
Isn't there a state flag back in Vermont that says something like, don't tread on me, or New Hampshire?
Right.
Yeah. I got T-boned a couple months ago, and of course we called the police, and they came up, and we were talking. I said, I got to be nice to you. He says, why? I said, because your mother might live behind us. Well, we started a solar group, and I was giving a guy a hard time. Bob and I were having a great time. It turned out, I said, he told me his mom lived three doors down. You got to be nice to people, because you don't know their relatives might live behind you.
Right.
It's an adage that says, treat people well. Don't treat them poorly.
Yeah.
That's why I stay clear of any political bashing stuff altogether. And I can tell you that nobody I know off-world gets into any of that kind of thing.
Well, if they're all going to change soon, then this is good. And if we don't have to worry about these nutcases shooting the presidents anymore...
Well, consider this, though, Bill. We are already here. And none of us originated on this planet. All we're doing is linking up with those who aren't here.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're really doing.
So how
shouldn't
many
be such a big
people,
deal.
How many people are they humans? How many people are out there?
How many people of what are out there?
How many sentient beings on civilized planets are in this galaxy?
Oh, hundreds of billions, trillions.
Yeah.
And we're not connecting with one planet of 30,000 people. We're connecting with billions.
When you go through the you're connecting to all of them out there that do it, that use it,
amazing.
And know it.
Amazing.
So this is a lot
time
more
and space
powerful.
Is not exactly than any power on Earth, correct?
Well, I've got
or
a
any negative force. It's just way beyond it.
Okay, so we'll connect to them and hopefully make the right decision.
Bill, you'll have to do a video on this. Definitely.
Yeah. Sure.
Definitely.
Okay.
And maybe, if you're lucky, they'll take you up aboard one of their ships, and you can see it firsthand.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, boy, I ain't coming back.
Yeah, bring your camera with you.
Come pick up your friends now.
Oh, let me tell you, I'm ready for that, and if I go and they let me take pictures, I'm writing a book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'll fund the publishing of the book. I'll go to Kinko's, and I'll fund it, and I'll publish it.
Well, Bill, you'll be behind me because I've already published one about that very thing.
I know, but you don't have a bunch of Technicolor photos.
No, except Terrellian, maybe.
I want to go on there with my cell phone. I want to get 300 or 400 pictures. And I
Your cell phone won't work on one of those craft.
So I got to get a camera?
They know what they're doing. They can provide you with what you need.
There's a book now that's out of print, but I've got a copy of it. It's called UFO Contact from the Pleiades. It was published back in... I believe it was 1976 or 1977 by Wendell Stevens. He's now deceased.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with that.
In that book, there are pictures taken by Billy Meyer aboard a Pleiadian ship going from this universe into another universe called the DAL universe, the DAL universe. And in that picture, the spacecraft is going, it's the most surreal thing. I've got the book at home, actually. You look on the sides, and it's through the face of this picture window on this space on the Pleiadian spacecraft, mm-hmm. and all the images are going by very, very fast. It's going through a tunnel from one universe into another, and the Pleiadians themselves have said that this universe that we're in, the width of it is something like 10^200 power times the speed of light.
Okay.
Approximately. What's fascinating, I remember one Star Trek episode where the ship, the USS Enterprise, actually went to the edge of the universe.
Right.
So I think in many ways, there's so much out there we just don't know, but it's fascinating to think about, certainly.
Well, yeah, here's the thing is to remind yourself that you once did know.
Wow.
When you start that, then you begin to put a handle on certainty of knowing, and that opens some doors to recovering that memory.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's the knowing use of the creative imagination. And creative imagination is not created in the brain
mm-hmm.
at all. There's no mechanism in the brain. There's no mechanism in the brain to, like a camera with a projector, that you see things.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
the being that's seeing things through the pineal gland out in the universe.
Mm. Fascinating.
That's the imagination, actually.
Now, you say the hue.
Yeah.
Opens up. It connects us with the beings out there because
it's the purest form. It's actually the purest form of prayer. It doesn't ask or demand anything of God. It's co-creative.
Okay.
The person begins to live again as they were meant to, as a co-creator with that source.
And you can imagine the hue if you're in a subway, if you're on the highway.
Correct. Yep.
You don't have to say hue. You can just imagine, because I've been doing a lot of that, let me tell you.
If you can imagine what's like to be on a normal human planet, and it's described clearly in the book, the mm-hmm. Sarah's Agenda, that's just mm-hmm. for a gift, as a benefit, as a tool for people,
mm-hmm.
then you can begin to recover your awareness of when you once were on one.
Beautiful.
So forth.
Once we
so
recover
beautiful.
Our awareness, we'll be able to change things, like create a salad in front of our very eyes. Now,
right.
humans, you say, are not naturally meat eaters.
No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
People out of the world do not raise animals of any kind and slaughter them and eat them. Does
mm-hmm.
people? Are people really so, I know the answer already, but do they really believe that craft come here from 500 million light years away or other galaxies carrying refrigerators full of slaughtered cows?
That would be insane.
That's just not, it's just,
yeah.
It's not practical. It mm-hmm. isn't the way they live. And
but
what people think is normal here is not, really.
Is eating meat, is that a reptilian implant like money is on this planet?
It is.
Okay.
But I would never ask a human being on Earth to give up anything like that
right.
until they're aware enough to
right.
do it.
Right, right.
And they have to have alternative beliefs and systems awakened so that when they eat energy through the infrared and ultraviolet, or when they eat other foods, mm-hmm. they are healthy and strong, because the belief system, the implant system, if it's a really powerful one and you stop eating meat, you think you're going to die, you will.
Right, right.
If you know you won't, you won't. It's just that simple.
Scott and Bill, we've got about just under 2 minutes left, and I want to just mention that. So I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. Bill, I want to give you some time, and Scott as well, just to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Oh, just simple. The cure for cancer, the cure for, you got to put the cure for diabetes, the cure for Alzheimer's. We've known how to cure these diseases for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was show people how they can go and buy the same products I have to buy to cure all these diseases. The
Beautiful.
Politics is just, the stories are just to cover the fact that we're stopping all the evil things from happening. So at the end of every story is, hey, this is going to happen, stop it.
Right.
But just the cure. That's it. We've known. In fact, we're working on reversing aging as we speak.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. And Scott, would you like to say anything for a few seconds?
I just want to thank you, Ted, personally, and Eric, and the engineer in the radio showroom there. Just want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing with your courage to make these avenues, these platforms available to people on this planet. It's very important.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And now also, Dr. Mount, you want to tell people again, slowly and clearly, how they can get a hold of your videos and so forth?
Oh, it's easy. You just go to YouTube and type in The Cure for Allergies.
They can type in your name, too, right? And then find all the videos.
William Mount?
Yeah.
Yes, I do the stories, but the videos are, I love God, I'm a natural ham.
Yeah, right.
I love the camera. Well, I just love it because I love people.
Well, yeah, well, Bill and Scott, thank you so much for coming on today. I know all my listeners around the world have really enjoyed what you had to say, and I learned a lot today as well. Next week, I'll be down in the San Francisco Bay Area starting with the Emoto Peace Project and a series of presentations. For information, please go to their website at www.emotopeaceproject.me. And I hope you all, everyone, has a wonderful and really happy day. Thank you so much for listening today.